Much of what I'm going to say today is I am going to cite some of the speakers at convention, and I won't take time every time I quote them to say so. But if you want to hear all of what they have to say, all the entire convention is on YouTube if you've got nothing to do for a couple of days. Well, good morning, church. So I just want to start with some of the highlights of the convention. And if you want more details, I'll say more about that in a minute. The good news, for the basic good news, is that the budget is fully funded. They're not going to run a deficit budget this year, which is really good news, which means that the new way of asking churches to give is working, it's productive. And so I'm thankful for that. The other things, several things I was thankful for. One was a presentation about small churches. And the focus of it was to take time to remember that the original churches were small churches. There weren't any cathedrals, there certainly wasn't any stained glass window. But people would go and they would seek out the symbol of the fish, to know that that was a safe place to gather and worship. And it's I'm sure a lot of you know this already, that the Greek word ichthys for fish, there's an acrostic when the Greek letters are the initials of the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I won't read you the Greek. Anyway, that's what it is, the ichthys. So that made me think about, well, what is it that we want to do here at St. Francis so that people see the sign of the fish when they pass by? And that's going to be something that we work on. We work on as part of the process of our going forward into our discernment time. The theme of the convention was to close the gap between religion and life, between what goes on in church and what goes on at work and at home, to make our faith a living reality that can be a sign of hope to people in rather troubled time, and at the same time, to secure justice and human dignity in the ordinary affairs of life. And this is a quote from an Archbishop, Derek Warlock, who I've not heard of or read, but Bishop Stevenson picked this quote as the call to what we were going to talk about at the convention. One of the speakers was Dr. Catherine Meeks, and she is involved in an institution in Atlanta that fights for justice, racial justice, and they have all kinds of ministries. And what she said was that what we need to do in order to go forward is that we need to claim our own stuff before we try to start fixing other people's stuff. We're responsible for taking time to look into the deepness of our souls, that place where those little goblins sort of hang out and go, ha ha, I'm just waiting. And then they lead you astray to, what are the names? Name those goblins. What are they? What are your distractions? James Baldwin says, we can't possibly name all the things, and this isn't a direct quote, that we can't possibly name all the things that distract us or that we need to work on, but we can't work on the ones that we don't name. So we have to struggle really hard to name those things that get in the way of our discipleship and our relationship with one another, so that we can indeed see the face of God in each other, no matter who that person is. And sometimes the things that we think we want to do, we get inspired to do, are kind of jumping the gun. congregations and people think, oh, well, if we did this, we'd have more people. If we had, you know, more kids, we'd have more people. If we had a youth program, there's all those things. Or we could start a soup kitchen or daycare, all the things that we could do to attract people to come to worship, that maybe that shouldn't be the focus of where we are right now until we really figure out who we are before we start taking who we are and who Jesus is into the lives of others. So sometimes we just need to take a break, and we need to stand still and stop and do things that are authentic to our own self and the self of our church family. What are those things that you need to face and confront? One of the purposes of the homework that I've been giving you is to kind of guide you into starting to think about, well, what does St. Francis mean? Who am I in the family of St. Francis? And it's to invite you to examine your own stuff as well as the stuff of this place. Take time to be still. We all know that, be still and know that I am God. But Dr. Meeks says, be still in order to take time to know who you are and who you are in relationship with Jesus. And she says, being still doesn't mean do nothing. It means to figure out what we're going to do so that we can do it right. And sometimes, she says, it's okay to tell God, leave me alone, I have a headache, and I'm going to bed. Well, she also then said, you can't stay there. You have to be still and consider where you need to go next, how to get out of bed. What is it that you really are called to do? What is it that where you are really called to go? And all of this is at the heart of our discernment process, of your discernment process. So the gospel that we read today for All Saints is in the context of All Saints, interesting in that it talks about blessed are they, blessed are you, and it's not just you. It's blessed are the whole family of saints, all of us. Bishop Stevenson's underlying principle when it comes to doing the work of the diocese is that no matter what it is, it has to be about Jesus. And if it's not about Jesus, then it's not ours to do. It is the work of Jesus that we are called to as disciples, that we are sent out to do. And again, we need to work on our own stuff before we can take the word to the world. Now, that doesn't mean that you stop inviting people to church or you stop telling people about whatever your relationship with Jesus. But what it means is that you don't go out in the world thinking, okay, I'm going to do something grand. I'm going to fix poverty. Well, that's a lofty goal. But how are you going to do it, and why are you going to do that? What are the things that keep you from examining yourself to figure out what it is that you all are missing in your lives or in your spiritual life, your spiritual walk, that would keep those things that you want to do from being successful? Because now I'm sure that each of you has witnessed in a church setting or in your own life, whether it's church or something else, you get this really good idea. And you are just sure it's the best idea on the planet, at least if I think of it, it is. But then it doesn't work. And it turns out that, well, maybe that was a good idea for Saint so-and-so down the road and it's working for them, but that's not what we are called to here in this place. What is the good idea for Saint Francis that we can all go through our own stuff and examine and then bring the good stuff that comes out of us to a place where we will succeed? All of this, like I said, is the heart of our discernment process, of your discernment process. So we read Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those meek. Blessed are those who hunger, thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." On the surface, this sounds like, well, that's pretty simple. You know, Jesus is talking about blessing those who don't have, those that they want to help, those who are marginalized, they're meek or they mourn, and we're ready to go. But I think that what we forget is that we are all of these things. Each one of us at a time in our life has mourned. Each one of us at a time in our life has been missing something and needs to be blessed, needs to have mercy poured upon them. They need somebody who's pure in heart to come to them and say, "What's wrong? How can I go with you? How can I walk this journey with you?" And certainly, hopefully, we are all peacemakers. And those peacemakers were called the children of God. I always liked the end of this little pericope that says, "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I always liked that when I was in a church situation where somebody came up to me and said, "You just aren't cutting it." And I'm like, "That's okay. I'm blessed." You know, it happens. All of us, none of us are perfect, and there's always going to be someone in our lives, in our paths, that doesn't exactly think that we're the best thing for that church or that workplace or that situation. And that's something that this passage has helped me come to terms with, the fact that no matter where I go, there's no way I can do everything perfectly. There's no way that I can avoid ever being told that was terrible what you said, or where were you when you were supposed to be here. But the thing of it is that if I take the time to be still, to step back, and maybe even tell God to leave me alone for a minute because I have a headache, and climb into bed and think about it, it allows me the opportunity to see myself through the eyes of the person who has hurt me, and then, more importantly, to see myself through the eyes of my Creator. And that's where we have to end up, is to know that God loves us, and He loves us all. And there are some people that I would like to say, "Well, okay, I love you," and be done with it. But that's not what it's about. Loving people who aren't very nice is difficult. Loving people who are different from you sometimes is very difficult. But no matter whether we love them or not, God does. And He loves them just as much as He loves us. In 2 weeks from today, we're going to have our annual meeting. And I've been telling you that Robert and Susan have agreed to stand for election to vestry. So we'll have that election. Thank you both very much. Pretty excited about that. And we'll have our potluck, third Sunday potluck. Potluck. Blessed are those who cannot speak. And we'll have our annual meeting, which will be an opportunity for us to see where we are as a parish financially, in the process of the land, and all of those things going forward about my presence here and how all of that is in process. So that'll be basically my rector's report, is to tell you all, to bring you up to date with some of the things that you've said in the discernment homework assignments, and why we ask those questions. So I've been giving you these things to do, and you probably some of you are like, why is she asking me that? So next week I'll try and bring that around so that you, oh, that's why. That's why. So here's the deal. If you have any questions that you want to ask me, I'm ready. But I ask you to write them down on an index card and put them in our little homework basket back there so that I can take a look at them and just take a look at them. The other thing is that this is that's 2 weeks for today, and this will be in the announcements. So I will not be here. I will be on my retreat, which is a gift from the Church Pension Fund for retirees, and I'm looking forward to that. But I have printed out the, because I don't know if morning prayer, you don't always do all the lessons, but I've printed out the Bible studies for the next week, which are back on the table. If anybody wants the Bible studies for next week's lectionary, just shoot me an email and I'll send them to you. So, convention was different. It was more relaxed. Bishop Stevenson got rid of some of the fluff. Like people would write a report and then they'd be invited to the stage and they'd get up on the stage and read the report. Excuse me, but I know how to read. But anyway, so things like that. And so the convention moved without very effortlessly. And there were some people who were upset because we weren't in a fancy hotel. But I think they'll get over it. Overall, the location of the Fredericksburg Convention Center and the proximity to different hotels, which were mostly just a quick walk, was very, very useful. Bobby represented us valiantly, and she'll speak a little bit next week or the week after about her reaction, her experience. So be still. Be still and know that God loves you and that God has something to say to you. Be still so that you can hear it. Be still so that you can hear your own heart. And then get up out of bed and go into the world to love and serve. Amen.